Chapter 2. The Canadian. A wispy mesh of anemic vines covered the canopy, giving it the appearance of candy floss. As they hurried further inside the forest, the snow abated, revealing a carpet of dry leaves. Refracted light rippled across the ground like sunbeams in a swimming pool. Lucy and Lopez dragged Jackson onwards as needles struck the trunks around them. They covered the length of 2 football fields before they caught up with the Canadian, who had stopped beneath a tall, resin-stained tree.
"Stop!"
he hissed, turning as the group approached. He held an arm out emphatically, his eyes bulging. With a finger pressed to his lips, he pointed to the tall, thin tree behind them. Lucy and Lopez craned their necks awkwardly, hindered by Jackson's weight. In a branch high above them sat a lone bird. Its black feathered chest curved outwards, obstructing Lucy's view of its head, but its sharp talons were clear, tightly gripping the spindly branch. Lopez transferred Jackson's weight onto Lucy and drew his pistol. Silently, he took a dozen steps back from the tree and took aim. Lucy scanned the forest for more birds, but the rasping hissing was gone. The only sound was Lopez's footsteps crunching on the dry leaves, which produced an oddly muffled crinkle. Lopez moved backwards and circled the tree cautiously, keeping his gun trained on the bird. He stopped at the far side and beckoned Lucy over. She shifted Jackson onto the Canadian and tiptoed across.
"You ever seen anything like this?"
Lopez whispered. Lucy looked up. The bird's head was missing. Its wings and spine had been removed. All that remained was the hollow ribcage, like a vase missing one side. The cavity was filled by a transparent globule the size of a tennis ball, which glistened in the shifting light.
"We need to get away from that right now," said Lucy.
"What is it?"
said Lopez.
"Best case scenario, the bird's re-specializing, turning into something else."
"Worst case?"
"Something killed it."
They crept back to the others. Jackson was standing on her own, steadying herself with her hands on her knees, while the Canadian stared nervously at the bird.
"Stay alert and watch where you step. Canada, you're back, man. Young, you're behind Jackson. We go single file and we go quiet. On me," said Lopez.
The forest creaked overhead and rustled underfoot, but the acoustic was ultra-flat. The translucent, tangled ceiling of vines covering the treetops appeared to muffle all sounds below. Lucy clocked the bird carcass as they passed another resin-stained tree. It was the 4th they'd encountered, hollowed out and glued to its branch. They'd walked in silence for what Lucy guessed was a couple of hours, all listening intently for threats and scanning for movement amidst the unending trees. Jackson was growing weak again. Her stumbling gait reminded Lucy of Cassie stumbling around on her birthday. A lifetime ago. Guilt gripped at her chest, tightening the muscles around her ribs like a vise. She had failed to protect the 2 people closest to her in the world, yet somehow she'd managed to save the 3 people beside her. The failure made her sick to the core. Jackson's head was lifted and Lucy followed her gaze. High above the forest floor, skewered by a thick upper branch, hung a parachute. Its chute was torn and an empty harness dangled below. The group stopped abruptly. Lopez's hand was raised in a balled fist. Ahead on the path lay a long, bent strip of metal. Lopez signaled them to reform as a horizontal line. They crept forward as one, scouring the debris as they went. Scattered pages from a handbook, bungee cords, and splintered bits of wood littered the forest floor, all leading up to the wreckage of a helicopter. They moved in. The craft was large, a dark green Chinook, heavily damaged. It lay on its side, tilted so far over that it was almost inverted. The cockpit windows were intact, but the seats were empty and the door facing the sky was sealed. The craft's front rotor blades were gone, and the rear of the chopper had been ripped off entirely, like a pool ring can. They skirted its long, scarred metal body to the back end, which hung open like a broken jaw. The rear propulsion was so twisted and wrenched that it stretched down one side onto the ground like a comb-over. In the helicopter's wake was a trail of smashed trees. Some were decapitated, others were partially uprooted. Lucy kicked the dry ground leaves aside and revealed the deep impact marks etched into the soil.
"Let's take a look inside," Radio's been torn to pieces, but there might be supplies. Jackson, Canada, keep watch. Young, you're with me, said Lopez.
Shafts of light dissected the Chinook, penetrating through the upended circular cabin windows, the lower halves of which were covered in leaves. Lucy's boots clinked against the metal interior as she followed Lopez inside. A row of red canvas seats lined each wall, locked in the open position. All were unoccupied. The lower row was covered in broken paneling and insulation which dangled from the roof.
Check the floor and the overhead compartments for IFAKs, and look for weapons, said Lopez.
Three discarded uniforms lay across the floor. Each had a parachute pack strapped over the sleeves. Lucy put out a hand to balance on the cold metal wall as she stepped between mesh nets and bungee ropes. She kicked over the rubble, searching for something useful amidst the buckled panels and loose cables. Something glistened beneath a crumpled uniform. Lucy glanced around the cabin. Lopez was interrogating the logbook. Lucy drew her gun. She knelt down, staying arm's length from the glistening object, and used the tip of her gun to flick the crumpled sleeve back. She recoiled with a gasp, swearing loudly.
Keep it down, hissed Lopez.
Sorry, I... Look, said Lucy, kicking the rest of the uniform aside. It was a dead fawn. Its legs were lacerated below the knees, and its gray fur was wet. Lucy lifted its head with the tip of her pistol. The fawn's jaw crumpled and bent inwards, releasing drops of gin water onto the metal floor like a sponge being wrung out. Lucy tried not to vomit.
When was it killed? Said Lopez.
I'd say within the last 24 hours, said Lucy, swallowing hard. The deer's head slumped back into place, dragging its body downward and leaving a white smear on the metal where the upper body had rested.
Oh my God,
said Lucy, grabbing the carcass and rolling it over. Its legs sheared off, releasing more gin water onto the floor, but this time she didn't care because the freshly exposed underside was covered in white powder.
Is that? Said Lopez.
Pass my bottle, quick,
said Lucy. She unfastened the cap and tipped half of the slushy snow water out, then eagerly scooped powder into the flask, coaxing in as much as she could scrape from the foal's coat. A clinking from the hall interrupted her industry.
Was that you? Whispered Lucy, looking up.
Lopez's gun was raised. He was staring intently towards the nose of the craft. More clinks. The scrunched curtain by the cockpit rippled. Lucy silently screwed the cap back onto her bottle and rose to her feet. Lopez wasn't blinking, his eyes fixated on the doorway at the end of the Chinook.
Major?
She breathed. With a crash, the creature burst out of the cockpit and slithered into the cabin. It was built like a Komodo dragon, only its scales were a pattern of scarlet and sunset orange. Its nails rattled against the metal hull as it clawed its way towards them.
Run!
Cried Lopez, firing two rounds at the creature.
What's going on?
Cried Maurice, as Lucy leapt from the wreckage.
Just go!
Cried Lucy, grabbing Jackson by the arm and pulling her forwards. Lopez was close behind, firing backwards as they ran. The canopy swallowed the noise like a silencer. Lucy raced between the trees as she emerged into a clearing, only to realize the danger too late. She turned and held her finger up to Lopez and the Canadian, who stumbled out after her, spraying snow as they halted. The tangled, translucent vine ceiling was gone. In the center of the clearing stood a vast tree. Its base was hollowed out, and its lower half showed gnarled stumps where the branches used to be. The tree soared above the surrounding canopy, twice the height of the rest of the forest. Birds lined the top branches like leaves. They hadn't yet spotted their prey. A rock face encircled the clearing, creating a natural amphitheater. A rustling swept towards them like a breaking wave as the creature sped across the forest floor, camouflaged against the dry leaves. Lucy redoubled her grip on Jackson and left the forest, making a desperate bid for the far side of the clearing. She glanced back as they passed the towering tree. Only now could she appreciate the size of the pursuing creature. Its length was almost doubled by its thick armored tail. Its scales flashed red and orange as it weaved towards them. The reptile's strides were uneven. One of its hind legs was withered, its scales bleached yellow-white, but the strength of its other limbs propelled it towards them. Jackson drowsily raised her rifle, but Lucy batted it down.
No shots! The birds!
Lucy hissed.
We've got to climb, urged Lopez, taking Jackson's other arm as they rushed towards the rocky hillside. Lucy scrambled up onto the first ledge, then pulled Jackson up after her.
Follow my path, whispered Lucy.
They struggled up the steep rock face, clinging to the sides, hampered by the wet violet moss growing on it. Each ledge was covered in snow, masking the loose rocks which shifted perilously underfoot. As they gained height, the reptile reached the base of the hillside. Lucy's heart froze as she watched the creature hesitate, hindered by its withered leg. Using its thick tail for stability, it clawed its way onto the first ledge. The group redoubled their escape efforts.
This way,
urged Lucy, picking out a route to the top. She hauled herself up to the next ledge, then reached down for Jackson. Lopez gave Jackson a leg up while Lucy pulled. Together, they heaved her onto the higher tier. There was a clattering of rocks and a stifled yelp. The Canadian had slipped and skidded several feet down the slope towards the oncoming creature. Lopez rushed back down and grabbed him, hauling him back as the creature crawled onto their level. Its scaled feet and sharp nails slapped and scratched against the rock for purchase as its muscular limbs dragged its diseased leg forward. A forked tongue stretched before it, trying to reach the two men. The Canadian scrambled upwards, shoving past Lopez and sending him off balance. Lucy watched in horror as the major skidded further down the slope towards the creature. Lopez landed just yards from the advancing reptile. He scrambled to his feet and backed away, missing the upward path and retreating along a ledge which quickly narrowed into nothingness. Tearing off clumps of moss, he clung to the bare rock face as he realized his mistake. The creature had halted, sniffing. It swiveled around and clambered onto the ledge above, picking up the scent of the Canadian. But Maurice, in his panic, had deviated from Lucy's route and was struggling to find a way upward. The reptile closed in. Maurice jumped, grabbing the ledge above, but there were no footholds to be found, and his legs dangled helplessly as he kicked wildly around the smooth rock. The creature lunged upward at the Canadian. With an almighty wail, Maurice swung his legs out of the way.
Shit!
Cried Lucy, as startled birds fluttered off their branches in droves. A hissing sound filled the air as dozens of black feathered hunters spotted the new arrivals. Jackson swung her rifle round and fired 6 rounds at the creature, but the bullets made little impact on its tough armor.
Target the leg! Cried Lucy.
Jackson fired on the creature's withered limb. The bullets tore through the bleached scales, causing the reptile to screech in pain and jerk backwards, revealing a softer underbelly. Jackson fired into the creature's exposed underside, and the bullets punched through the scales. The creature fell away from the rock face, crashing into the snow below.
We've got incoming!
Cried Lucy as she reached the summit. She knelt down and pulled Jackson up. The first birds were flying directly towards them. Jackson took up position and fired upon the birds, killing several and dispersing others, while Lucy helped Maurice over the edge. The Canadian staggered to his feet and immediately ran for the cover of the trees, while Lucy waited for Lopez. She heaved the major onto the hilltop, and the pair ran for the fresh forest, followed by Jackson, who provided covering fire as she ran. With a yell, Jackson emptied her magazine at the birds as the group fled deep into the new forest level. They ran for several minutes until the hissing was no more. Panting, the four regrouped amidst the wispy canopy and dry leaves.
You're amazing. You're magical. The creature didn't even go near you,
cheered Maurice, panting and patting Lopez on the back. Lopez grabbed the Canadian by the throat and pinned him against a tree.
You shove me down a hillside and think we're all G just because I made it back up alive? He growled.
I panicked. I'm sorry,
the Canadian rasped.
Twice we've saved you, and twice I've asked myself why. Now give me a reason not to kill you,
said Lopez, his eyes just inches from the other man's.
Guys, help,
said Jackson from the back. She was knelt down, head bowed, one hand clutching her flat leg. Sticking out of her calf was a needle.
Shit,
said Lopez, relinquishing his grasp on Maurice, who fell to the ground spluttering. The top of the needle was fading in color as the oily liquid inside drained into Jackson's leg. Lucy yanked the needle out and tossed it aside, scattering oil and blood among the leaves. Jackson yelled in pain.
Press down,
said Lucy, placing Jackson's hand over the wound.
Lucy whipped off her backpack and pulled out a dressing strip, which she wound tightly around Jackson's calf. Then she grabbed her water bottle and unscrewed the cap.
Drink. It's like Camp Oscar. Do you understand?
Said Lucy, thrusting the bottle into Jackson's hand. Jackson nodded and took a swig of the white powder.
I could go for some water, said the Canadian.
Go to hell, said Lopez. We need to get moving before the infection takes hold, said Lucy, pulling Jackson to her feet.
How long does she have?
Said Maurice.
One more word from you and I will end you right here in this forest, do you understand?
Said Lopez, grabbing his knife and pointing it at Maurice's throat. The man gulped and nodded, hands raised.
Which way, Major? Said Lucy, refastening her backpack.
Lopez consulted his compass and took a bearing.
East is this way. If you see any creatures, shoot the Canadian first.
Welcome to Karen's Mobile Home Park, read the large rusty sign by the side of the highway, and not a moment too soon. Jackson was deteriorating. They'd left the forest some time ago and picked up the highway, having seemingly evaded the birds. But during that time, Jackson's complexion had grayed further. She was groggy and swayed as she walked and looked to be running a fever. They approached the park entrance. It was the first of four lanes which flowed from the highway like fingers. Each lane hosted a few trailers of varying size. The row nearest them was bearing the brunt of the snowdrift, which had piled against the rear walls. As they crept through the park, Lucy spotted algae growing on the shaded walls between the trailers. She directed them onto the second row, which looked healthier, a single trailer with no external growth. Lopez banged on the door and called out several times, but there was no answer.
I kick you cover, said Lopez.
Lucy raised her gun. Jackson leaned against the wall, summoning her strength, and also raised her rifle. Lopez kicked the door hard, breaking the cheap lock and sending it flying open. He sprang back to let Lucy and Jackson cover the entrance. Jackson stumbled forwards, rifle raised. Lucy stayed close behind as they entered the gloomy abode. Their boots tapped against the vinyl floor as they crossed the short hallway. Lucy's shoulder brushed against the wallpaper, cream with a pattern of lilac buckets. Jackson swung left into the lounge kitchen area, and Lucy followed.
Clear!
Jackson shouted.
Clear,
came Lopez's reply from the right-hand wing. He joined them in the lounge.
Good. This will do. I want a secure base established well before sundown. That gives us 30 minutes tops. Canada, you're on fuel for a campfire. Jackson, stay here and check for supplies. Young, you and I will do a recon of the other houses for food and water. You take lane 3, I'll take 4.
You mean raid them? Said Lucy.
Do you have a problem with that? Said Lopez.
I'd rather not do it alone. Lucy replied, blushing slightly. Ditto that. I'm sticking with you, said the Canadian.
There you are, Young. The golden ticket. Don't slow each other down. Clock's ticking, people. Let's go, said Lopez.
Jackson sat slumped on the sofa. She was upright, but her eyes were closed and her ashen cheeks were sagging. Maurice sat across from her, reading a glossy magazine. Lucy sat on a stool by the fireplace, stirring the pot of simmering pasta. She seized the moment of privacy to capture the tumult of the last 2 days.
February 21st.
I told you about the beast capture mission gone wrong, and Rangecroft dying. Well, it turns out Major Lopez blames me, even though it was a joint idea. The fact that we were trying to harvest and grow white powder, the very thing that let Lopez, Jackson, and me escape, seems to be lost on him. Escape from Camp Oscar, I mean. The convoy was ambushed, and as far as we know, everyone was killed. The camp had already been attacked. The company we were supposed to rendezvous with had been killed by the time we got there. The creatures had piled up the bodies, presumably to stockpile the gen water that would follow. Whatever the impetus, it shows they're capable of complex, goal-oriented tasks. We're still trying to get to DC to find reinforcements. Our truck was destroyed by a colossus, so our progress has been drastically slowed while we're on foot. The Colossus was the third of its kind that I've encountered, and it had been blinded by birds. They've evolved projectile needles between their tail feathers. They got Jackson this afternoon. I've given her more white powder, but the infection looks terminal. She was only hurt because a stranger made us vulnerable. That's my fault. I thought I was doing the right thing, but now she might die. Another person dying because of me. These people are all I have left. I have to protect them. It can't happen again. I can't be alone again.
Lucy snapped the notebook shut as Lopez's footsteps approached. He was carrying 4 bowls. He knelt down by Lucy, beside the fireplace, and turned his back on the others.
"How bad is it?"
he whispered, checking over his shoulder to be sure Jackson and Maurice weren't listening.
"I don't know. I thought the extra white powder would stabilize the infection, but it's not working," said Lucy.
"What are we talking? Days? Weeks? Hours?"
"Hours," whispered Lucy. She ladled piping hot pasta from the pot into the bowls Lopez was holding. He passed them to Jackson and Maurice on the sofa, then took a seat as Lucy joined them and passed over his portion. For several minutes, the 4 squatters blew, slurped, and chewed in silence, gobbling the hot food down.
"Girl, I could go for some more. That was on point,"
said Maurice, setting his fork down with a clatter. "You want breakfast tomorrow?" said Lucy.
"Hell yeah,"
said the Canadian. "Then there's no more," she replied. The Canadian chuckled.
"You remind me of my father. He used to say that kind of stuff all the time when I was growing up. He was a real asshole."
"Like father, like son," grunted Lucy.
"Am I sensing some hostility?"
said Maurice, running his hand through his graying, back-combed hair. "No hostility, just facts," said Lucy, chewing.
"Why don't you tell me about your family? No doubt they were kind-hearted people, full of humor," said Maurice.
"Enough of the crap. It's high time you told us who the hell you are and what you were doing in Cincinnati. Why were you running away from your car?" said Lopez.
"I was out of fuel,"
shrugged Maurice.
"You were being chased," said Lopez.
"I used up all my fuel trying to get away," said Maurice.
"Away from where?" said Lopez.
"Boston,"
replied the Canadian. "Boston?" said Lucy, clattering her fork against the bowl.
"Yeah, good old Beantown. Why?"
said Maurice. Lucy's mind flashed to her bedside drawer back in San Francisco, which contained the life-changing letter. After months of searching, the agency she'd hired had finally tracked her estranged mother down. The woman who'd walked out on her childhood, whom she hadn't seen in years, was living in Boston. With her father long dead, Cassie gone, and Dan's loss achingly raw in her mind, Lucy longed for her mother in a way she hadn't before the disaster. She had become her only living relative. The thought filled her with longing, anxiety, and hurt all at once. Guilt, too, took hold. She'd never had a chance to tell Dan about the agency's findings. She was going to ask him to come with her, to meet her mom. She'd promised Cassie she'd tell him. Then the satellites failed and everything changed.
"Hello? I said, why do you care about Boston?"
said Maurice, snapping his fingers at Lucy. Lucy blinked sharply and abandoned her ruminations.
"Never mind what she cares. We're interested in what you were doing there," interjected Lopez.
"I was getting the hell out of there," said Maurice.
"Why?" said Lucy.
"Because it's off the chart. You think Cincinnati was bad? Boston's unreal. Apparently, there's some doctor trying to fix them, but it's gotta be too late for them. I'm pretty sure they're all screwed."
"Who?"
pressed Lopez.
"The people. The infected ones,"
said Marie, scratching his stubble. "The virus is still there?"
Define virus,"
said Maurice. "The spores," said Lucy.
"No, honey. Those were months ago. This was way different. Like, zombies different."
"Zombies?" said Lopez, alarmed.
"Well, not actual zombies. No one's eating brains. Those were strictly off the menu. The infected folk just got weak. They'd look like hell for a time, maybe get weird patches on their skin, and then they just die."
"They had skin lesions? Are you sure it's a new disease?" said Lucy.
"No idea. I didn't stick around to find out,"
said Maurice.
"And you ended up in Cincinnati," said Lopez.
"I went via NYC first. Terrible call."
"More of the disease?" said Lucy.
"Nothing like that. Not in New York."
"What then?" pressed Lopez.
Because that city is being run by a psychopath. Bitch calls herself the Queen. I got picked up and ended up working for her for a bunch of weeks until I escaped. I was heading for the West Coast when you guys found me."
"There's nothing for you on the West Coast. I promise you that," said Lucy darkly.
You guys are from the West?
Said the Canadian.
Lights, interrupted Jackson, pointing outside. A truck pulled into the mobile park and made a beeline for their trailer.
Lopez grabbed Jackson's rifle and headed for the door.
Young, on me.
The pair of them stepped out into the freezing night. Lucy squinted as the truck approached. Snowflakes danced in the headlights as someone climbed out.
Who are you? Called Lopez.
The stranger walked closer into the illumination to reveal a military uniform. He had thin lips, glasses, and bore a sergeant's insignia.
Five Marines looking for shelter, said the man assertively.
Christ, you're a sight for sore eyes. Get on in,
said Lopez, beckoning them inside. Four more soldiers spilled out of the truck. The driver slung a chain around the steering wheel and locked it into place before catching up. The soldiers traipsed into the house, not bothering to kick the snow off their shoes. They fell on their knees by the fire and stretched out their hands. The sergeant, Adler, introduced himself and the rest of his troops, Willis, Brown, Lee, and Peters.
I told you they was cooking, said Willis, pointing to the simmering pot.
The soldiers' eyes panned hungrily to Lucy and Lopez's brimming plates of pasta. Lucy followed his gaze, which moved from her plate to her pistol. Her eyes darted to his rifle. She glanced at the other Marines. Two more had rifles. All had pistols. The other soldiers' eyes were beginning to wander. Lucy looked at Lopez. He was seeing it, too.
Let's make you and your boys up some pasta, Sergeant. Water's still hot, said Lopez. Much obliged, Major, said Sergeant Adler. Real good of you, Major, said the soldier beside him, Willis, who was stroking his thick, unkempt black beard.
You guys can have the sofa. I'm gonna lie down, said Jackson, shuffling to the edge of the seat.
Canada, see that our guests are fed.
Young, give me a hand, said Lopez.
Lucy and Lopez helped Jackson down from the sofa onto the floor mattress, while Willis, Peters, and Lee all slumped onto the couch.
What's up with your girl?
Said Brown, who had taken the wooden seat by the fire. His lips had a pronounced natural downturn, which gave him a permanent look of depression.
Fever, said Lucy.
What kind of fever?
Said Brown. The kind that makes people sweat, said Lucy.
Is it contagious?
Said the sergeant, who would remain standing.
Yes, that's why we're all hanging out together, so we can all catch it, said Lucy sarcastically.
No offense, lady, but I ain't sleeping here. I've not made it this far so I can get sick off some stranger,
declared Brown, rising from his chair.
Respectfully, Major, I have to agree with Private Brown here. Brown and I will scout out one of the other houses,
said Adler.
Can us three stay by the fire in the meantime?
Asked Lee from the couch. He had a round, childlike face and rosy cheeks to match.
Fine, but you'll be sharing night watch, so enjoy yourselves while it lasts, said the sergeant.
Brown tipped his vacant chair over, placed a boot against the frame, and sheared a leg off. He dipped the lower half of the stick into the pot of boiling water, then shook it out. He grabbed an empty bowl, threw a tea towel in it, then poured cooking oil over the towel, folding it over several times until it had soaked up the oil. He wound the tea towel around the dry end of the chair leg, mopped up the excess oil, then ignited the tip on the fire. Clutching his hand-built torch, he moved towards the doorway.
Save us some food,
said Brown, his face glowing next to the flaming torch. Sergeant Adler grabbed a rifle and followed after him.
Your boys seem awful touchy, said Maurice, tipping the last of the dry pasta into the pan.
They've been through it,
said Lee, holding his hands out to the fire.
Well, you guys can relax now. You guys have lucked out big time with this household. Take it from me. These two right here, they're special,
said Maurice, pointing towards Lucy and Lopez.
Special how?
Said Lee.
We're really not, said Lucy anxiously. She's just being modest. She saved me from the creature with her bare hands, said the Canadian.
You did?
Said Lee, his eyebrows raised.
That's not even close to what happened, said Lucy. Don't be so modest. There's something about you, like a gift, a lucky charm, said the Canadian.
We could use some luck,
said Lee, eyeing her up intently.
Where did you say you fellas come from again? Said Lopez.
All over. I'm from Detroit. Willis is from Atlanta. The sergeant's from, began Peters.
I mean, which regiment? Interrupted Lopez.
34th Infantry, replied Lee.
You're a long way from Minnesota, said Lopez.
Our division got attacked. We got scattered,
Lee replied. When? Said Lopez.
About a month ago. We've been trying to get down south, to the coast, said Lee.
A tiny issue of the country's crawling with fucking aliens,
said Peters. His features were small and neat, though his lips were chapped.
It's Armageddon. I've been saying it for years, but none of y'all believed me. We pissed off someone upstairs, and here we are, said Willis.
Wrong, dumbass. It's the Russians gone done this. They got their labs, doing experiments and shit, and one of their creatures got out and wham, that was it. Now they're all over the world, said Peters, his eyes lit up as he espoused his theory.
It's not the Russians, said Lucy.
And you know that how? Said Peters.
Because it started in space, she replied.
Bullshit. I don't see no spaceships full of big-ass wolves, snorted Peters.
It was a bacterial cloud, said Lucy.
Like a virus? Said Willis.
Like a bacteria, moron, said Lee.
The bacteria broke the satellites, then infected some astronauts who brought it back to Earth, said Lucy.
Assholes, cried Peters.
Fuck's sake, Larry, they didn't mean to, said Lee.
Right?
He added, looking to Lucy.
Right, said Lucy.
Hey, that kind of figures. We all even got masks right after because the disease was in the air, said Willis.
How do you explain the wolves and the bats and the weird moss stuff on all the buildings? Protested Peters.
Ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? That pretty much sums this pathogen up. It kills you, steals your DNA, then does a genetic lottery when it respawns.
That's how it's scaled up, said Lucy.
Respawns? Said Lee.
They don't breed like we do. D4 creatures are self-replicating. They don't need the genetic variants of two parents because they get it from their prey. But their mechanism is insane. It's a reversal of what happens in human wombs. Every cell in the creature's body reverts to a base state, so that you're effectively left with a ball of stem cells, which then turn into something based on stolen DNA.
But if there's no parent, how come you got whole packs of wolves? Said Peters.
I'm guessing there's some kind of horizontal gene transfer at play.
Like in bacteria, which share successful adaptations. They could be sharing entire genetic maps.
Maybe they infect each other with those maps in the same way they infect their prey with some kind of enzyme. But that's the crazy thing. Here you've got a single pathogen taking a huge number of forms and competing against itself.
She gonna eat that?
Said Willis, pointing to Jackson's half-eaten plate of pasta.
Maybe in the morning, said Lucy.
Huh, grunted the soldier, scratching his bushy cheek.
How often do the creatures respawn? Said Lee.
We actually don't know what prompts the respawning, but the rate seems to correlate to size. Bigger variants take longer to breed and will need more food, so you'll see fewer of them. Plus, they may be outcompeted by smaller ones, said Lucy.
How do you know all that?
Said Peters, eyeing her suspiciously.
She's a scientist, said Lopez.
My colleagues figured it out, actually, said Lucy.
Where are they now? Said Willis.
Lucy stared at the fire.
What kind of question is that?
Hissed Lee.
I'm just asking. Maybe they're in a bunker or something, muttered Willis.
They're dead, said Lucy loudly.
All right, so now we know. No bunker, said Willis, shrugging.
You said it is what it eats. You reckon that explains the zombie people? Asked Peters.
They're not zombies, man. They don't eat brains or bite people, said Lee.
They look like shit and everyone avoids them. They might as well be, said Peters.
That sounds more like leprosy, said Lucy.
I heard Boston's crawling with them, said Willis.
I've heard your rumors before, and you boys ain't seen shit to prove it, said Lee.
I have, said Maurice.
All eyes fell on the Canadian.
I've seen them. They're definitely not zombies, by the way.
Maurice added, passing around bowls full of hot pasta, which the soldiers devoured ravenously.
But those people are sick, right? Like, alien sick? Said Peters, chomping away.
Yeah, so they're pretty messed up. No one knows what it is, but it's spreading, said Maurice.
Did you find her in Boston?
Said Willis, nodding at Jackson. She drank some bad water is all. Just be glad she stopped shitting everywhere, said Lucy.
Well, if one of you starts shitting everywhere, I will 100% leave you to die in it. Just saying,
said Willis, prompting Lee and Peters to laugh.
Most of them die anyway,
said Maurice.
I heard they found a cure. Some doctor lady,
said Peters. You can just say doctor, said Lucy.
So she's real, said Lee.
Maurice shrugged. Jackson spluttered from the mattress, muttered some incoherent words, and rolled onto her side.
Yo, you got any more?
Said Willis.
How are you finished already?
Said Lee.
I'm done too,
said Peters.
You two are animals,
said Lee.
That's all there is, I'm afraid,
said Maurice, collecting the bowls.
Fuck it, I'm having hers,
said Willis, reaching for Jackson's portion. Lucy leapt up and kicked Willis's hand away.
That's hers,
said Lucy, sharply scooping the bowl up from the floor.
The fuck?
Said the soldier, leaping to his feet. He lashed out and struck the bowl from Lucy's hands. It fell to the floor and smashed, sending shards of porcelain and pasta across the vinyl.
The hell are you doing? Cried Lopez, leaping to his feet. Bitch just kicked me,
yelled Willis.
Whoa! Easy there. Let's all keep it friendly,
said Maurice, raising his hands.
I'll be calm when I kick this bitch back,
fumed Willis.
You're not hearing me, soldier. I said take a seat, said Lopez.
Or what?
Said Willis, squaring up to the major.
You don't like our hospitality?
You're welcome to leave, growled Lopez. I'm liking it just fine,
said Willis. Lopez's hand edged towards his pistol.
Try it,
Willis grunted. The front door clattered open. Sergeant Adler and Private Brown appeared in the threshold.
The hell's going on in here?
Said Adler, seeing Lopez and Willis standing across from one another, each with a hand on their holster.
It's nothing, just a misunderstanding. We're all good,
said Peters, raising from the couch and patting Willis on the back. Willis didn't move.
We've set up the house across the yard. Fire's going, said Adler.
We'll be turning in then. Come on, boys,
said Peters, steering Willis toward the door.
We're going to keep a night watch. You guys want in?
We rotate every 2 hours, said the sergeant.
We'll do our bit, of course.
Who goes first?
Said Lopez, smoothing his uniform.
I could take first shift. I do owe you guys,
said Maurice, shrugging.
Yes, you do, said Lopez.
Does he know what he's doing?
Said Adler.
He knows how to cry for help real loud, said Lopez.
I guess it'll have to do,
said the sergeant, departing, followed by the other soldiers.
I get a gun, right? I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I had a gun,
said Maurice.
I'll make a note of that for next time, said Lopez.
The Canadian let out a nervous laugh and lingered a moment. Then, realizing the gun was not forthcoming, he headed outside, cursing. Lopez grabbed a dustpan and brush and swept up the shattered porcelain, while Lucy gathered the pieces of pasta into a new bowl. Once it was cleared, the pair headed to the bedroom to retrieve the second mattress and move it into the warm room. A glow outside caught Lucy's eye.
You see that? She said, pointing outside.
3 cigarettes glimmered in the darkness.
Grab the goggles, said Lopez.
Lucy fetched the night vision from her backpack and handed them to Lopez.
What do you see?
She asked.
Maurice, that asshole's smoking with 2 of them, said Lopez.
Which 2? Said Lucy.
The sergeant and your new best friend, Willis. Hold on, they're going inside, said Lopez.
I thought he was on watch.
This isn't right. I don't trust any of them. None of their stories hang together, and that Canadian's a piece of shit, said Lopez.
You think they're gonna attack us?
I don't know. They know we're outnumbered and outgunned. But they know the blood roll, right? What would they gain from killing us?
Asked Lopez.
What if killing's not the aim? Said Lucy.
So what, they just want to take us prisoner?
You heard Maurice back there. He's figured it out. He knows we're immune to the creatures, and the soldiers know we're heading to D.C., but they want to go south.
What if they want to capture us for safe passage? Said Lucy. Lopez peered through the window again.
Get down,
he hissed, hitting the deck. Lucy copied.
They're moving on us. 2 left, 2 center, 2 right. We need to get to the forest. On me,
said Lopez, running through the lounge room.
Hostiles incoming. We gotta move quiet and fast,
said Lopez, rousing Jackson. Jackson staggered to her feet and grabbed her rifle, while Lucy grabbed her backpack.
Get to the next house. Get behind it, then move to the end of the row. Then run for the trees,
ordered Lopez. He clicked the rear door open and hurried them out, sealing it behind as he followed. The snow glowed as if under a UV light.
Their footsteps crunched as they rushed to the next house. Lucy sped around the corner and sprinted to the end of the row, pushing out wide to avoid the snowdrifts. She reached the last house and halted. The forest was at least 100 yards away. Jackson was lagging behind, aided by Lopez, who was supporting most of her weight. Lucy ran back and took Jackson's other arm. A crash came from their deserted trailer as the rear door was kicked open.
"Hurry," whispered Lopez as they dragged Jackson forwards.
Jackson pulled her arms in and fell to her knees as they reached the end house.
"What are you doing?" urged Lucy.
Jackson swung her rifle into position and took the safety off.
"Covering you. Now go."
"You heard her. Go,"
said Lopez, shoving Lucy forwards. She sprinted towards the forest past an abandoned car. Lopez drew level beside her. A whistle blasted. Shots rang out as Jackson opened fire, silencing the scout. An engine roared into life and the soldier's truck sped towards the gunfire. Lucy glanced back as she ran, terrified. The truck swung out onto the final lane. Jackson took up position behind the abandoned car and fired upon the Hummer, but couldn't penetrate the windshield. With a crunch, the Hummer shunted her covering place. Jackson jumped, but the car clipped her legs, knocking her to the ground. Lucy sprinted into the dark forest.
"This way," called Lopez, changing direction from the trail of footprints they'd left in the field.
"We got your girl,"
came a shout from the yard. Lucy and Lopez stopped abruptly, panting. They peered back between the slender trees. The Humvee's lights shone across Jackson's crumpled body. Looming over her was Adler. The sergeant grabbed her by the hair and hauled her onto her knees. Her right leg was broken and swiveled outwards, perpendicular to its normal position. Jackson screamed in pain.
"Now I'm going to give you fuckers till the count of five to surrender," yelled Adler, looking around the tree line.
"Either we surrender now or we keep running. She can't suffer for nothing," whispered Lucy to Lopez.
"In fact, your girl's going to help me do the counting," yelled the sergeant. "Here goes. One."
He snapped Jackson's index finger back, splitting the bone and exhorting a guttural howl from her. Lopez drew his handgun and took aim. Lucy covered her ears.
"Two," cried Adler.
Lopez fired. The bullet ripped through the side of Jackson's head and her body went limp, slumping to the ground.
"Run,"
cried Lopez as Adler leapt into the Humvee. The truck raced towards the forest, heading in the direction of the gunshot. Its lights cut through the thin trees like tripwires. Lucy and Lopez sprinted further into the forest, dodging the solid trunks as they ran, trying to escape the lights. But as the Humvee reached the forest edge, the lights went dead. Lucy suddenly stopped, finding herself in total darkness.
"Young, keep moving,"
called Lopez in a coarse whisper. She hurried towards his voice, ricocheting off invisible trunks.
"Major,"
she whispered, trying to keep up. The reply was imperceptible.
"Major,"
she implored. Silence. Lucy came to a halt and an icy chill swept over her. The snow had gone. Twigs and leaves crackled in all directions.
"Hurry,"
came a whisper. She rushed towards the sound.
"Come on."
She stumbled onward, desperately feeling her way.
"Young."
She tacked to her left, struggling to keep pace with the zigzagging voice.
"Young, come on,"
urged the voice from the other direction. She stopped.
"Quickly."
The whispering was on both sides.
"This way."
It was closing in.
"Hurry. Lucy, no."
A blow from the side. Someone tackled her to the ground with immense force. She landed hard on her shoulder, tightly bound by the stranger's arms. Lucy squirmed as the assailant wrestled her onto her front. Leaves and dirt rubbed against her face. The soldier straddled her back, pinning her down with his weight and stifling her breaths.
"I got the girl,"
cried Peters, pinning her.
"Major, it's time to give up. Accept that you've lost and we can avoid further tragedy,"
called Adler somewhere ahead of Lucy.
"In case you're thinking of shooting one of us, I promise you we'll shoot your girlfriend right away, and we really don't want to do that. Not after all this,"
the sergeant continued.
"We don't want to shoot you at all. Word on the street is that you two are quite the catch. But it's all or nothing now, Major. Either both of you get to live and we settle this like adults, or we'll kill her right here, right now. Then after that, we'll find you, and we'll kill you too."
"I'm a man of my word, sir, so I really suggest you go for the first option."
"Just listen to him, Major,"
It didn't have to go like this,
called Maurice. Lucy's blood boiled.
Freeze, cried Brown somewhere in the darkness. Drop your weapon. Get down on the ground, hands behind your back.
Good choice, Major. All right, team, let's get back,
cheered Adler. Peters patted Lucy on the back.
Sweet dreams,
he chuckled before delivering a sharp crack to the back of her head.